Hey, thanks for listening to Sprawlcast. If you value independent local journalism, support our work so we can keep digging into Calgary municipal issues. We rely on our readers and listeners to support the work we do. If you value the Sprawl, you can sign up at sprawlcalgary.com.
The next stop, Sprawlcast.
You're listening to Sprawlcast. My name is Jeremy Clausus, and I'm the founder and editor of The Sprawl. Sprawlcast is made in collaboration with CJSW 90.9 FM in Calgary, and we are podcasting from Treaty 7 territory. Sprawlcast is a show for curious Calgarians who want a better understanding of the place they call home. We go deep to bring you stories that matter. Stories like this one.
You are destroying our parklands by siding with developers.
The real question is, do we preserve remnant strips of land or build homes for thousands of Calgarians?
We want to put the most residents that we possibly can right next to the BRT station.
Building apartment towers in an affluent neighborhood will not be affordable housing.
I think we should listen to the people on this one, and please don't support this.
In December of 2024, Calgary City Council had a decision to make on whether or not to approve high-density housing by a shopping center at the southeast corner of the Glenmore Reservoir.
A contentious proposal to build high-rise towers at Glenmore Landing will not move forward in its current form. Calgary councillors defeated the application in a close vote this morning.
RioCan, the Toronto-based real estate investment trust that owns Glenmore Landing, wanted to build six mixed-use towers with nearly 1,200 housing units. It would have been an example of transit-oriented development, something City Hall has talked about for decades, but struggled to make happen.
We've been having a lot of conversations about where growth in the city should be happening.
This is Area Councillor Courtney Penner.
We continue to say things like growth should happen on nodes and corridors, next to our primary transit network. And what I heard from my council colleagues was that even though those were all of the markers and the indicators of this development, they found something amiss with it.
This is something that came up repeatedly during the blanket rezoning public hearing in the spring of 2024.
Please continue to abide by principles that were originally laid out in the 2009 municipal development plan to focus growth on nodes and corridors.
A higher density development along the, you know, the main streets, the activity centers, the transit nodes. That's where it should be. That's where it makes sense to do it.
What are the solutions? Corridors and nodes. Why don't we develop those areas first?
Glenmore Landing is a retail node on an underused BRT line at the corner of two busy roads, 90th Avenue and 14th Street Southwest. The Jewish Community Center is across the street to the south, and Heritage Park and the Rocky View Hospital are not far to the north. The RioCan Towers were proposed for two nondescript parcels of green space between Glenmore Landing and its neighboring roadways. If you drive by, you'd likely not give them much thought or notice at all. But there's more to these parcels than meets the eye. They're leftover pieces from an on-again, off-again fight that goes back to the 1960s over whether or not this location should have multifamily housing. Developers have been trying to build high-rises here for well over half a century, with various plans that have provoked fierce resistance in nearby residents. And more than six decades after the first proposal, that resistance hasn't subsided. The local community association is taking the city to court over these parcels as we speak, in an effort to block future development here. Calgary Herald journalist Vern Similek, writing in 1967, said, "The Glenmore Park apartment complex controversy is shaping up to be a rezoning battle royale." He was right about that many times over. Another journalist in the 1970s called it the Great Land Battle of the Glenmore Reservoir. It's a decades-long saga about class, conservation, and community politics. History is repeating itself at Glenmore Landing, but with some new and creative twists. Let's get into it. Glenmore Landing sits on the eastern edge of Bayview, an affluent neighborhood of luxury homes on the southern shores of the Glenmore Reservoir. Like many neighborhoods in Calgary's so-called donut of decline, its population peaked in the 1980s. Bayview is one of the wealthiest communities in Calgary. Its population of about 670 people lives between Glenmore Landing to the east and the Glenmore Sailing Club to the west. And Bayview's median household income is nearly $300,000, which is three times the citywide median household income. And there are no renters in Bayview, according to city data. All are owner households. Now, when Bayview was built in the late 1960s, it was marketed as an exclusive community with estate-sized lots, a world of luxury and finer living in the parkland atmosphere of Glenmore Lake. With the neighborhood backing onto the pathways of the reservoir, it's normal for residents to spot coyotes, bobcats, and even the odd black bear. But even before Bayview got built, a developer wanted to build high-rise apartment towers on the low-lying land on the eastern shores of the reservoir, where Glenmore Landing is today. This was in 1963, when Calgary was a city of fewer than 300,000 people.
It's amazing to see a place in this day and age retaining so many of the warm, old West ways and traditions, in spite of the hustle and bustle of a growing metropolis.
This is a Calgary tourism video from 1962.
They say the city has expanded further than they dreamed possible.
In the 1960s, Calgary was sprawling in every direction. Car-dependent subdivisions like Marlborough and Mayland Heights were going up in the northeast. There was Dalhousie and Brentwood in the northwest. And a ways south of the reservoir, developers were building the subdivisions of Brayside, Willow Park, and Southwood. Amidst all this greenfield growth, Kelwood Corporation wanted to build about 2,000 apartment units at the east end of the reservoir. But some residents in the nearby communities of Calvin Grove, Eagle Ridge, and Haysborough raised concerns about traffic, parking, and losing their mountain views. They made their views known to City Hall. One resident told council,
"We don't oppose the project, we oppose the location. Go build it on some other swamp."
Apartments, residents argued, would degrade the district. They belonged downtown. City Council voted down the high-rise plans in 1963, a decision that would be remade many times after. By 1967, Bayview's first phase was under construction on the reservoir's southern shores. And as the first luxury homes went up, the city's park superintendent, Harry Boothman, said rezoning that land so close to the reservoir had been a costly blunder by City Hall. The Herald also expressed dismay that the Bayview subdivision will see new homes built so close to the lake, there will only be room for a pedestrian walkway between backyards and the bank of the lake. The Herald editorial board called Bayview's proximity to the water gross carelessness and a matter for extreme regret.
"No one can blame private citizens for wanting to build lakeside homes if they can swing the deal. But it was up to the city to protect public rights and see to it that the lakeside was set aside for public park purposes. This kind of mistake simply cannot be allowed to happen again. It should not have happened with the Bayview development."
After the Bayview blunder, the push was on to protect the reservoir from further residential encroachment. In 1967, the city considered buying the land east of Bayview, where Glenmore Landing is today, but didn't. Instead, it bought 55 acres west of 24th Street from Alcan, the developer of both Bayview and Oak Ridge. This ensured that homes west of 24th Street wouldn't be so close to the water when they eventually got built in the 70s. That's why when you go through South Glenmore Park today, it's nice and wide west of 24th Street, but much narrower by Bayview, where multi-million dollar homes back onto parkland on the reservoir shores. In 1967, another developer put forward plans for the east side of the reservoir, envisioning a high-rise commercial and apartment complex complete with a school. The Calgary Local Council of Women weighed in, expressing strong disapproval of non-park development on the site.
It is vital that we preserve as much park area as possible.
The Herald also came out against the project.
All remaining undeveloped fringe land around Glenmore should be preserved as a greenbelt for the enjoyment of all citizens.
Residents of Haysboro organized against the latest high-density development.
Once again, the Glenmore apartment project rears its ugly head, as does the stupidity, apathy, and lack of common sense in our city council.
After a rowdy public hearing, city council once again voted no. It went on like this for years. By 1974, another developer, Campo Corporation, now owned the low-lying lands east of the reservoir. The Ottawa-based developer wanted to build 7 high-rise towers. These plans also went nowhere. By the time Campo downsized its plans to 2 towers and 500-plus townhouses instead, in 1976, some of the strongest opposition came from residents in Bayview. The prestigious Lakeside neighborhood was now built out, and its new residents were outraged at the prospect of high-density housing going in nearby. City Council was inundated with letters from Bayview.
The existing homeowners are entitled to have their chosen way of life preserved.
Odds are good that this development will become a virtual ghetto.
Persons who purchased property in the Bayview area paid a premium for its amenities, and it would be wrong for council to take any action which would retroactively nullify the basis for such premium.
Now, not all of the opposition was from Bayview. Then as now, a lot of it came from neighboring communities like Haysboro, Pump Hill, and Palliser. And some of what was said in 1976 is almost word for word what was said in 2024, a half century later, at the public hearings about RioCan's Glenmore Landing plans. Here's what Alderman John Ayer said in 1976.
It's too many people in the wrong place.
And here's Councillor Dan McLean speaking about the same spot in 2024.
It's just too much density in a small parcel of land.
In 1976, one Pump Hill resident warned that rental costs in the new units would undoubtedly be high.
It will do nothing to help the low-cost housing need in Calgary.
And in 2024,
building apartment towers in an affluent neighborhood will not be affordable housing. So how is this helping the city with its housing issues?
In 1976, residents said infrastructure in the area wouldn't be able to handle such density. Nearby roads were already intolerable, bumper to bumper in rush hour, a traffic nightmare. And in 2024,
this project is a recipe for gridlock and danger. Adding thousands of residents to an already failing intersection is a public safety hazard waiting to happen.
And in 1976, city council members were put on political notice.
If this residential development is allowed to be proceeded with, every man who voted for such an action should be castigated. And their names should be set out in bronze, so the citizens of Calgary can forever see who is responsible for this act of infamy.
And in 2024,
I will remind each of you, if you approve this, Calgarians who live near Glenmore Landing will remember. We will vote you out on October 20th. We will work to make sure the rest of Calgary knows what you've done, because if you can do it to our community, you will do it to theirs.
There was a consensus in the letters from 1976. If City Hall wasn't going to preserve the lands as a park, it should do the next best thing and only allow single-family housing there. As one Bayview resident put it,
I am not opposed to development as long as it is in harmony with the present status of the area.
The Albertan reported that locals pulled out all the stops to beat the project. Even former Calgary mayor and lieutenant governor Grant McEwen called for the lands to be preserved. And so, in the summer of 1976, facing public wrath, City Council voted down Campo's multifamily housing plans yet again, and Council spiked subsequent plans from the company as well. By the late 1970s, Calgary was in the midst of a housing and construction boom as the city continued to sprawl.
It was at that point in the early 80s, I believe it was, that there were 36 construction cranes in the downtown area, indicating 36 huge buildings going up.
This is Calgary broadcaster Ed Whalen in an old KSPS documentary about Calgary.
And the construction crane became known as the Calgary Bird.
After a land swap with the city on the eastern shores of the Glenmore Reservoir, another developer finally succeeded where the others had not, by ditching the housing aspect and going purely commercial. In 1985, Intrawest Properties opened the Glenmore Landing Shopping Center on 10 acres at the southeast corner of the site, with five low-rise commercial buildings around a big parking lot.
Number one, shop the landing.
Glenmore Landing. The place to shop this Christmas.
You feel it the moment you walk through the door. Familiar, yet new and exciting. It's a one-of-a-kind Safeway's Glenmore Landing. A bold, colorful look throughout.
These days, Glenmore Landing is kind of showing its age. But when it opened, Glenmore Landing was marketed as a magic lakeshore environment of gleaming glass and banner blue roofs. And even that was controversial in the area, with some locals protesting the color scheme of the complex. They wanted Calgary earth tones, not blue, and they took a petition of about 250 signatures to City Hall. One Bayview resident complained,
"The colors are not us. They're not typical Calgary, and we want to be typical Calgary."
They got over it, though, and Glenmore Landing, which originally had a nautical theme, became part of the neighborhood fabric. RioCan bought it in 1987. Meanwhile, after the land swap, the city finally owned the treed, low-lying lands south of Heritage Park and north of Glenmore Landing, along with the land surrounding the shopping center. And for 30 years, from 1985 to 2015, the threat of multifamily housing at this site was successfully staved off. But in 2015, the possibility of high-density housing here was raised once again.
We have a meeting of the stars, an alignment of planning that is going in that is happening around Glenmore Landing Shopping Center.
This is former city councilor Brian Pincott speaking at council in 2015.
We have the Southwest BRT, which is in its planning stage this year and next year.
The idea was to get these two projects going at the same time, a new bus rapid transit route, which is called Max Yellow today, and transit-oriented development on the city-owned lands on the periphery of Glenmore Landing. This is former councillor Drew Farrell in 2015.
It's a really exciting opportunity. This is an amazing location, underdeveloped.
But by 2016, momentum had stalled.
And RioCan have advised the city that they are currently putting their plans on hold given the current economic climate.
We'll come back to our show in a moment, but I want to remind you that the only reason we can do local journalism of this depth is because our readers and listeners pitch in to support our work.
I support the sprawl because in-depth, hyper-local news is important to me. I really appreciate the time and effort that goes into explaining often complex municipal issues in bite-sized, easy-to-digest formats, and acknowledge the importance of financially supporting independent journalism, especially in the current media climate.
If you value in-depth local journalism like this episode, please pitch in to support The Sprawl. You can sign up at sprawlcalgary.com. Okay, back to our show. When RioCan eventually put forward its new plans for a pedestrian-friendly urban village at Glenmore Landing in 2023, It was like the 60s and 70s all over again. RioCan wanted to build six high-rise towers, ranging from 20 to 35 stories, on the perimeter lands around Glenmore Landing, a project expected to take 15 years. The company's longer-term plan was to eventually redevelop the original shopping center with more towers and a high street. The local community association didn't view RioCan's plans as an outright threat, at least not initially. The community association here encompasses three different neighborhoods: Bayview, Pump Hill, and Palliser. Pump Hill, an affluent neighborhood with some truly eye-poppingly large houses, is south of Glenmore Landing. Meanwhile, incomes in Palliser, across the street from Bayview and just west of Pump Hill, are lower than the citywide median income. In Palliser, most housing units are multifamily, and 44% of people are renters. This is partly because of the two high-rise towers of Glenmore Gardens on 90th Avenue, just blocks from Glenmore Landing. These were built in the late 1960s, at the same time as Bayview. All this to say, the Palliser Bayview Pump Hill Community Association is a bit of a hodgepodge with its three different communities. And now it was facing the age-old controversy over high-density development at the corner of 14th Street and 90th Avenue.
At the time, our position was to stay neutral.
This is Jay Nelson. He's lived in Palliser for about 20 years and was the Community Association VP in 2023.
We wanted to maintain a voice at the table with the developer and with the city and with our community. To try and understand what exactly was being proposed, and to the extent that we could influence the proposals and the development to be the best development possible, but also be the best development for the community.
The community association had numerous concerns, ranging from building height to traffic impacts. RioCan eventually scaled down the towers, with the tallest building downsized from 35 to 25 stories. Meanwhile, a group called Communities for the Preservation of Glenmore Landing was going door to door and organizing against the project, and the community association was feeling some heat.
They came to meet with us at our September 2023 board meeting. They presented their side of the story and the reasons why they were opposed. And they asked us to change our position from neutral to being opposed.
A few months later, at a meeting in November, nine new members were elected to the board, including organizers of Communities for the Preservation of Glenmore Landing.
And so the board basically turned over to being composed of people who were against the development. And then those of us who were wanting to be neutral could see the writing on the wall, so we all just resigned.
In the December 2023 community newsletter, departing board members gave their reasons. The board has become nearly entirely focused on the development of Glenmore Landing, wrote outgoing president Sam Swain. The community association's 93-year-old caretaker, Cal Melrose, also resigned from what he described as a one-issue board of directors. As a renter myself, he wrote, I am personally offended that, in this time of housing crisis where families and seniors are finding it difficult to find reasonable accommodations, our new board refuses to allow much-needed residential development in the city to ease the housing crisis and bring rents down. For his part, Jay Nelson wrote that the Glenmore Landing development had taken the wind out of his sails. It is simply no fun, he wrote, to assess a situation objectively and in the best interests of the community while becoming an object of scorn to those who disagree, and as a volunteer, no less.
One of the things you find out in those sorts of situations is people don't organize to be for development. It just doesn't happen. People organize to be against development. So we the board members had conversations with our neighbors. It wasn't adamantly against development. It was probably on the balance against development, but there were people who were interested in seeing what this development might bring to the community and to see how the mall might improve. I would say definitely once the talking points of the Preservation Society got out, people were more alarmed.
In January of 2024, some of the new board members spoke at City Council's Planning Committee, outlining a host of concerns with RioCan's high-rise project.
Good afternoon, council members. I am presenting from the PBPCA Community Association.
This is Leslie Farrar, one of the new board members.
The proposed towers will shade 14th Street Southwest and the 14th Street pedestrian walkway. Shaded areas on roadways create problem areas for black ice. Black ice is a common culprit for some of the worst car accidents as vehicles spin out of control. RioCan's own shadow studies indicate large part of 14th Street will be shaded from 2 to 4 p.m. from September to March. This puts lives at risk during evening rush hour throughout our winter months.
In the January 2024 community newsletter, the new president, Harris Hansen, wrote that the previous perceived apathy of the community association inspired many of our neighbors to awake to the threats being posed by this proposed development and to do something. Now, I reached out to numerous Palliser Bayview Pump Hill Community Association board members for this story. Hansen answered my questions by email, but told me board members aren't doing interviews while this issue is before the courts, which we shall get to. In his January 2024 letter, Hansen made it clear that the new board was well equipped to fight the Glenmore Landing redevelopment. He wrote that members of our board are talented people with legal, engineering, building, and development experience.
There's probably a number of people within our three communities that have retired and they have the time to organize. And you know, there tends to be a lot of professionals. There's a lot of lawyers. There's a lot of people who are involved in the development industry. So when they organize, I think they do a good job of it because they have some sense of what they need to do.
This part of Calgary has a long history of taking on City Hall with well-organized, well-financed campaigns, going back to the 1960s, but also in more recent decades. Long before the Ring Road was built, a local group called A Better Way to Go successfully fought the expansion of 14th Street as a key southwest traffic artery in the 1990s. The expansion would have expropriated homes in Eagle Ridge, a small, exclusive neighborhood just north of Heritage Park. Eagle Ridge was built in 1960 and is even more affluent than Bayview.
We were just... Didn't want an expressway going through a Deerfoot, going through a neighborhood.
This is Maurice Timms, a businessman and Eagle Ridge resident, speaking at council in 2016. Timms died in 2020, and his obituary noted that in his last decade, he was a leading community activist in addition to being a board member of the local Rolls-Royce Owners Club. Timms was a lifelong Rolls-Royce aficionado. And in 2016, when he was in his late 80s, Timms was campaigning against the new Southwest BRT that goes by Glenmore Landing. He was chairman of a group called Ready to Engage that was vigorously opposing the project.
We hand-delivered over 40,000 information brochures throughout Southwest Calgary. What we're saying is there isn't the demand for this type of heavy-duty, high-capacity bus system on this route.
It's hard to identify demand when the service isn't there.
The city's plan was to build a 3-kilometer transitway along 14th Street, two separated lanes just for transit buses, with an underpass going under 90th Avenue by Glenmore Landing, and then the BRT would jog west to Mount Royal University before proceeding downtown. That's the situation today, but it was hugely controversial when it was being proposed, with many residents registering their opposition at City Hall.
When somebody decides to buy a house in a neighborhood, it is with a clear understanding of what that neighborhood looks like, and it is not fair on part of anybody to change that plan, to change that neighborhood.
There are high-density communities within this city, and if people wish to live within them, live within them. The Southwest BRT is completely unworkable in its present form.
The 14th Street Transitway's cost had originally been pegged at $40 million. In 2016, the estimate jumped to $65 million, and the transitway ultimately cost $76 million. In 2016, before it was built, City Hall had rosy predictions of ridership.
We have determined for the Southwest BRT route that by 2024, there will be approximately 12,500 riders per day using the service. This is higher than the top-performing BRT route today, Route 301, which carries approximately 8,500 riders per day.
That was the prediction even when RioCan's housing plans were on hold. Maurice Timms and his group argued that these numbers were not realistic. Nearly a decade later, how do City Hall's predictions hold up?
Currently, the Max Yellow has 3,600 riders per day.
That's not even a third of what City Hall predicted. Some residents call the Max Yellow the ghost bus. So, what happened?
Max Yellow was launched in, the end of December 2019, and it got a couple of months of service in there before the COVID pandemic hit.
This is David Kosher, Calgary Transit's senior planner for South Calgary. I asked him why the ridership numbers are so low compared to the predictions. Not slightly off, but way off.
Well, I do think a big part of that is as soon as we launched it, we did go into a pandemic. So transit citywide is still recovering from that in terms of ridership. But given the growth rates we've been seeing over the last few years, we do expect to be able to reach our ridership targets eventually in the future.
The Max Yellow's low ridership in this area was foretold by others in 2016, including this guy.
If you're driving a Mercedes-Benz and you can afford a Mercedes-Benz, you're not going to take public transit to goddamn downtown Calgary or Mount Royal College.
This is from video that CBC recorded in 2016. This was at an acrimonious Southwest BRT open house held by the city.
Take a look at the people that live west of 14th Street. Take a good hard look at them. And then tell me that those people are going to take public transit? My great aunt's ass.
This is local resident Holly Hoy. She's lived in Bayview for over 20 years.
I think the affluence of the neighborhoods around here is absolutely a factor. A lot of the people who are involved in the opposition to projects are from Pump Hill, Eagle Ridge, Calvin Grove, Bayview. They own multi-million dollar homes. They drive Audis and BMWs. They don't take public transit. They don't participate in that part of public life that a lot of Calgarians and new Calgarians do. I think they're disconnected from those issues. And they, for some reason, can't think beyond that.
And this brings us to the Glenmore Landing BRT station. Or is it just a bus stop? Well, that's a matter of rather vigorous local debate around here. It's an odd spot, with Glenmore Landing's massive parking lot on one side and the traffic of 14th Street on the other, although there is a pedestrian bridge that goes from the station into Haysboro. The high-density housing that was envisioned here for decades does not exist. And as a result, this is not a busy spot.
At the Glenmore Landing station, we probably get about 200 trips on a typical day today going to or from that location.
This, of course, is part of the rationale for putting more housing here. Transit-oriented development, or TOD, boosts transit ridership. And RioCan's plans put the tallest towers by the station, rather than building on the existing shopping center. This is Melanie Horkin, a senior planner with the city, speaking at a planning commission meeting.
We want to put the most residents that we possibly can right next to the BRT station to allow them access to that facility that is obviously council approved and it has been built, and we need to ensure that enough residents get to use that facility. So that's why the main aim would be to concentrate residents as close to the station as possible.
In January of 2024, City Council's Infrastructure and Planning Committee held a public hearing about the sale of these city-owned surplus lands to RioCan. These are the 5.5 acres that separate Glenmore Landing from the roads alongside. But there was a hitch.
An agreement registered on title to the privately owned adjacent shopping center was brought to administration's attention late last year, which refers to the city-owned lands as parkland and goes further to say that the city undertakes to utilize the parklands only for park purposes and a variety of other municipal purposes like roads and utilities.
That 1983 agreement made the developer responsible for things like planting trees and building pathways, along with maintaining the grounds. Meanwhile, the city was prevented from obscuring Glenmore Landing with structures or additional trees of any kind.
The rights that are set out in that agreement were largely for my client's benefit.
This is RioCan lawyer Jonathan Ryder.
It was to protect Glenmore Landing Shopping Center. What we have now is an opportunity to build non-market housing during a housing crisis adjacent to a TOD site.
Opponents of RioCan's plans argued that no development should proceed on these parcels because they are parkland, even if they weren't zoned as a park. The city advertised the sale and got nearly 2,700 responses in opposition and only 6 in support of the sale. Let's listen in to the public hearing.
We should not even be considering the sale of parkland to a developer so that they can build luxury high-rises next to half of our city's drinking water.
Once parkland is gone, it's gone forever. Build where you're not taking away green space. McLeod Trail, it's by the LRT. There's so many low buildings that could be redeveloped along McLeod Trail. Do not sell our parkland.
To me, it seems like terrible timing to be selling parklands after Calgary has just declared a climate emergency. We should be protecting these green spaces at all costs and instead developing on vacant, already developed lands.
But not all parkland is equal. The Glenmore Landing parkland sounds like this.
The parkland, quote-unquote parkland, that they're referring to are two grassy berms that border 14th Street and 90th Avenue.
This is Bayview resident Holly Hoy.
They're not natural parkland. They have planted grass on them that gets mowed. They're very sparsely populated with trees. They're next to two busy roadways. I think it's an incredible stretch to call that parkland. We're standing at the banks of the reservoir here where there is true parkland, and there's no comparison in my mind. We have natural aspen here. We have Saskatoon and other species of plants here that grow naturally and that aren't planted. So, yeah, I think that was just a false argument that they're using. They're grasping on to issues that they think they can win on, but they're not really grounded in reality. I think there's a gross hypocrisy in the same people who live in the houses behind you there on the reservoir, whose homes were built on true parkland 45 years ago, and they're moaning about these green strips today.
The BRT was also a hot topic at the public hearing about the land sale.
This is going to be a high-end development, no doubt. Most residents will not be using public transport.
People buying or renting accommodation with million-dollar views will not be using transit, no matter how much the city would dearly wish an increase in ridership on our BRT ghost bus.
Residents of luxury condos, as proposed at Glenmore Landing redevelopment, will mostly never use the BRT. This will not be affordable housing. They will use their cars.
Others, including Hoy, spoke in favor of the sale.
Let's be clear. Area residents opposing the sale of this underutilized land are doing so because they fear the change that increased density may have. The parkland argument is a smokescreen for hyper-local opposition.
This is not a park. This is a sidewalk intersecting strips of Kentucky bluegrass monocultures between the shops and the road. These bits of land are not big. They aren't ecologically significant, and nor is it significant green space.
Many speakers have stated that they are in favor of densification and implementing affordable housing, yet they are against it in their own community. This is a textbook example of NIMBYism.
It is ironic that many of the folks speaking about preserving parkland today have benefited from the environmental destruction that happened when their very low-density neighborhoods were originally built. If the sale is not approved, more of that destruction will happen on the outskirts of our city.
Council's planning committee approved the sale 8-3, but the pivotal decision on rezoning was still to come. A month later, in February of 2024, the Palliser Bayview Pump Hill Community Association took City Hall to court over the issue. It applied for a judicial review of the land sale, arguing there was a lack of procedural fairness. Here's what one resident told council in December.
Our surrounding communities have gone as far as engaging legal counsel to represent our views and vow to continue with this mode. Money from hardworking Calgarians and retirees to make our views known. Yeah, it's expensive.
In December of 2024, with the next municipal election less than a year away, City Hall held a public hearing on the Glenmore Landing rezoning. It stretched over 2 days, and RioCan and its consultants made their case for the project.
A litany of policy documents guide us towards development in this form, including the Municipal Development Plan, Transportation Plan, Transit-Oriented Development.
A big group of opponents came to council wearing yellow shirts.
We did not want to wear red, because red means stop. And we're not about stopping. We're about responsible development. If it was seven stories, I don't think you see an objection from us.
As in the 1970s, opponents made every argument they could against the high-rises, noise, traffic, parking, you name it. But this round featured a new one. Previously, opposition had focused on impacts to nearby residents. But now the towers and their construction were portrayed as a threat to all Calgarians because of the proximity of the high-rises to the Glenmore Reservoir, which supplies almost half of the city's drinking water.
I'm with the Palliser Bayview Pump Hill Community Association. I am here to reaffirm our main objective, that is to protect Calgarians' drinking water as supplied by the Glenmore Reservoir.
The city's most important resource, it's water, drinking water, and this premier recreation area, the Glenmore Reservoir, vote no.
So what is the purpose of such aggressive development adjacent to our drinking water? Did we not learn anything this past summer when we experienced failing infrastructure in Bonessen area? And the entire city relied on the Glenmore Reservoir. Just because you see a beautiful area and have strategically put a bus stop in its vicinity does not justify building such aggressive development.
If council approves this development without considering the effects of water, Calgary's new slogan will be known as the city of blue sky, but no water. And this will be our legacy, the decision that we make today.
The presence of numerous dogs in such close proximity to the reservoir increases the likelihood of animal waste runoff during rain or snowmelt events, further threatening water quality. According to the Canadian Animal Health Institute, 41% of Canadian households at least have one dog. From just some simple math, this gets us 478 more dogs. And with the average amount of dog poop per dog, that's 358 pounds of poo per day. These are just some simple stats that show how this area is not ready for this level of density yet.
City admin repeatedly said the city's drinking water wasn't a worry in relation to the project.
It is close, within proximity to the reservoir. But the thing is, we are not directing any stormwater, any sewage, anything along that line into the reservoir. All of that will be directed into the utility system. So from that regard, there is that source water protection that is occurring. And in terms of increased use to the park, there really isn't that concern. I have to remember that the water from the reservoir goes into our treatment plants, gets treated to a established standard, and we do testing to make sure that water quality is maintained through the treatment plant. The work around the Bears Paw South feeder main in Bowness is unrelated and is not driven by growth or development. I just want to get that straight because that was a recurring theme and a question that came up.
Dog poop issue, anything to say about that?
I don't think there's any specific concerns around that.
And while most spoke in opposition to RioCan's plans, some Calgarians spoke in favor.
I'm not going to bother getting into, any of the water or infrastructure concerns that have been addressed. I would hope that this council is intelligent enough to see past some of the hysteria.
We need transit because a lot of people like myself can't drive ourselves, and the disability community is full of people who are unable to drive. So we need transit close to where we live. So that's why this development is really exciting to me as a disabled person in Calgary.
Council, here we are. This is what you asked for, transit-oriented development. Many of you called for this exact thing. At the rezoning hearing, I listened to many Calgarians stand at that podium in City Hall and ask, why not build development around transit instead? Well, this is it.
Now it was time for council to debate. This is Area Councillor Courtney Penner.
I have asked countless times about the impact to the reservoir and water quality. Our lead of water has not expressed any concerns. Those who are leading the Glenmore Water Treatment Plant have not expressed any concerns.
Now we'll hear Councillor Jennifer Wyness, Sonia Sharp, and Andre Chabot.
I hear my colleagues' points and how they were looking at this perspective from a small box piece of planning. But what we have to factor in is we are building densifying around our water resource. Our water is something that we have to be very mindful and concerned about.
I actually don't have enough time to talk about water because it affected my community so much. So Councillor Wyness said exactly what I needed to say. It's just like, I think it's irresponsible considering everything we've endured this last summer.
I think the proposed density is too much. And I appreciate the fact that it was scaled back from what it was originally envisioned to. I think it's still too much. I can't support it.
Now we'll hear Councillors Raj Dhaliwal, Dan McLean, and Peter DeMong.
I know this is hard, this is housing, but I think what we heard from residents for the last 2 days is they have concerns. So I urge RioCan to go back, get them engaged, get the input, and maybe if you're willing to do this in a phased approach, they are your partners.
Let's just say no to this, and then maybe they can come back with something that's more acceptable.
Council, I think this time the community got it right. This is too much for the area as far as I'm concerned. Can it accept more density? Absolutely. And I think it should accept some more. But not before we need to look at the logistics of the area. The ingress, the egress just doesn't work. If you haven't been there, drive through it. It's a chaotic location as it is now. I'm not really agreeing with this even being a TOD. To me, it's simply an extravagant bus stop. There should be more density, but not as it stands. I won't be supporting this build-out.
Here I should note that City Admin says traffic is actually down at that intersection, thanks largely to Stony Trail.
The volumes on 90th Avenue and 14th Street, directly adjacent to the site, have dropped by 30% from 2014 to today.
Now let's listen to council members who were for the project. We'll hear councillors Giancarlo Carra, Jasmine Meehan, and Courtney Penner.
The fact that we have places like this where the private sector is stepping up and taking a piece of auto-dependent infrastructure and creating a node of urbanism on a primary transit network is a best practice.
We really do have to get serious about finding places for people to live and doing it around existing infrastructure that we have. I will raise some concerns, I think, with my colleagues, like leaning into fears of the community when we know that we have the right checks and balances in place to make sure that those things are taken care of. So like leaning into anecdotes about the water, we know that the water main break that happened in Bowness was a catastrophic failure that didn't have anything to do with development.
I am deeply disappointed in my colleagues.
because all of the answers to all of your debate were there. I can tell you with assurance, Councillor Wyness, that I have met with the Water Services team around the Glenmore Reservoir. I can't get snow clearing in the Weasel Head because we are so concerned about the water quality and about driving a bobcat down there and the spill that our equipment might have. I can't get an additional motorized boat on the reservoir to help with the Disabled Sailing Association because we are so concerned about protecting our water. I can tell you this administration takes our water very seriously. We can't talk about an underutilized BRT and then not put people where it is.
Finally, it was time to vote on the rezoning.
The motion is defeated in a 6-8 vote with Councillors DeMong, McLean, Wyness, Thalliwal, Wong, Chu, Sharp, and Chabot voting against.
And so, in 2024, Calgary City Council voted down multifamily housing at Glenmore Landing, just like past councils did in 1963, 1967, 1976, and 1979. RioCan wouldn't comment for this story, except to say that the company did not acquire the parcel of land in question after council voted down the rezoning. The city also confirmed that the proposed sale is no longer moving forward. It's unclear what RioCan will do next, but if history is any guide, this isn't over. There will be new high-rise plans here, whether from RioCan or somebody else. Meanwhile, the Community Association's application for a judicial review is still before the courts. A hearing is scheduled for January 2026. Sonia Johnson has been watching the recent saga unfold. She lives not far away in Chinook Park, just on the other side of 14th Street. And I spoke with her on the reservoir pathway by Glenmore Landing and Bayview. And something she said stayed with me after our conversation.
The way I think of the reservoir, like some mornings, I would come out here with my dog. I'd come early and when it was cold because my dog's not great with people. I could go all the way to South Glenmore Park and run all the way back and never see a soul. And I would think, I am so lucky. Everybody's fearful of change, but that change happens. Like, you know, part of it, I used to do the Jane's Walks. I did a couple of Jane's Walks for our community. And it was like so interesting, right? Because like the Chinook Park used to be, you know, the polo club. And before that it was, you know, grassland and farmland and indigenous land. And like, so like how far back are you, like, where do you decide what moment in time it stays fixed? And you can't, because change is inevitable, right? So like, I guess you just wish you could make people understand that and think like how lucky I've been to be here at this time when I have that house and I have the reservoir and no one's here. Like, I've been so lucky, but things change.
End of line. Thanks for listening and see you again soon.
You've been listening to Sprawlcast. My name is Jeremy Clausus and I'm the founder and editor of The Sprawl. You can read a transcript of this episode on our website at sprawlcalgary.com. And you'll want to check this one out because there's all kinds of newspaper clippings, some architects' renderings, and all kinds of good stuff like that. So it's worth checking out the online version as well. And that's where you can also find Sam Hester's new Curious Calgary comic about Glenmore Landing. Get this, her father designed the place, which you can read all about in her story. We're also trying to track down photos of the Glenmore Landing McDonald's from when it had a nautical theme. I've heard it had a pirate ship. Sam doesn't remember a pirate ship, but she does remember an unusual sign out front. So go check out her comic and let us know if you're sitting on Glenmore Landing gold in the form of photos of that McDonald's from the 80s. In this episode, you heard some fabulous voice actors from CJSW reading actual quotes from old letters and newspapers. We had some fun with that.
We don't oppose the project, we oppose the location. Go build it in some other swamp!
Our voice actors were Kamal Karimi, Joni Dornenball, Christy Thompson, Cam Sifford, and Aaron Milner. You also heard a news clip from CTV Calgary, along with a clip from the 1962 promo video called Calgary, the Living West. There was also a short clip from the 1998 KSPS documentary, Calgary Remembered. This episode was edited by Mike Todd. Our theme music is by Dan DiAgostino and Kenny Murdoch. Our C-Train narrator is Holly McConnell. Thanks for listening and see you next time. Hey, thanks for listening. If you valued this episode, please pitch in to support our independent journalism. We'd love to have you join our community of curious Calgarians.
I've supported The Sprawl for quite a few years now. It's always been super in-depth coverage, very focused, hyper-local, and relevant. And it doesn't matter if you sort of, your identity here in Calgary has been inner city, suburban, or somewhere in between, or none of the above. It's always something that's hyper-focused and relevant to all of us. And that's what I really appreciate about it. Thanks, and keep up the great work. And by the way, Sam Hester's comics, the icing on the cake. Bye-bye.